Amen. All right. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be in Joshua. Joshua chapter 4. And as you're turning there, I just want to give you a little bit of historical context before we jump into that chapter. You see, the Israelites had been in slavery, enslaved by in Egypt for quite some time, and they had been under the thumb of Pharaoh. And here comes this guy named Moses, right? Moses comes, and he leads the Exodus out of Egypt. But what Moses wouldn't do is lead the people into the promised land, which was Canaan. Enter Joshua. See, Joshua would do what Moses wouldn't do. He was called to lead the people into the promised land. One commentator says that the book of Joshua is written to the descendants of those who conquered the land as a historical account of how they had come to settle there. It celebrates God as general, defender, and king. See, the book of Joshua is uniquely placed because it's a narrative that connects the book, the first five books, the book of Moses, and the book of Judges. And it's uniquely placed, and it can be broken down into three major sections. If you like to study Bible, I want to give you the three sections that you can study this book and give you some reading. See, chapters 1 through 12 talks about the land and the conquest of Canaan, specifically chapters 6 through 12. The first five kind of deals with them crossing over into the Jordan, and that's what will be in chapter 4. Chapters 13 through 22, it talks about the division of that land. Now they've conquered the land. Now is the dividing of that land amongst the 12 tribes. And the last two chapters of the book, chapters 23 and 24, it talks about the end of Joshua's life. So that gives you a high-level overview, bird's-eye view of the book of Joshua if you're interested in going back and studying today. As I said, we're going to be in the book of Joshua. And the book of Joshua is often compared to like the Acts of the Old Testament, right? They were just moving. So in chapter 4, if you have your Bibles open, we're going to pick up in verse 1. If I could find mine. One second here. Genesis, Exodus. There we go. Got it. Okay, I got it now. All right. It says, when all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe, and Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of people in Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, because guess what? Kids ask questions. When your children ask in times to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. I didn't read it twice. It's in there twice because it's important to realize what God was doing. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord had told Joshua. So you see here, we have God given a command. He's telling Joshua what he'd like Joshua to do. And it's to set up this memorial, right? But what do these memorial stones mean? Now, I have a picture of the stones here, and if you're like me, you probably started counting to see if there's actually 12 there, but there is 12. That's just the one in me. But what do these stones represent? What do they mean? And to the people at the time, it would have meant God's faithfulness. See, these stones represent the faithfulness of God to the Israelites. Notice that there are 12 stones, each representing one of the 12 tribes. It is even more fascinating when we think about that number 12, because in the Bible, oftentimes the number 12 is associated, is a symbol of faith. See, God had delivered the people, and he wanted them to create this memorial so that every time they looked at it, they would remember what God had done for them. It was so that they would always remember that these stones represented a time in their history when God showed that he is almighty and all-powerful. This is what happens when the impossible meets the promises of God. See, there are many memorial stones, if we think about it, for the Israelites. And if you stop and just think with me for a moment, you see, Israel was getting ready to enter into the land of Canaan, like I said, specifically chapter 6 through 12. So what God is doing here, he's preparing them by instituting this memorial for them to remember his faithfulness as they would journey on. See, the word remember, it doesn't simply mean to bring to our minds or just to think about. No, it's much deeper. It's to focus on and to reflect on. Because when you focus on something and when you reflect on it, it goes much deeper than the mind. It strikes at our hearts. See, they were to focus on and reflect on God because these stones represented his faithfulness to the people, the fact that they were his chosen nation. Therefore, it was to serve, as the scripture says, as a sign to the people. But not only for the people at the time, but for the future generation. It was a multi-generational monument for the children, so that in time when they ask, what do these stones mean? They will be reminded of the faithfulness of God. Another thing to note is that the Israelites had short-term memory loss. Because if we think back a little bit about their story, when they remembered or focused on God or reflecting on him, good things tend to happen. But when they turned their attention away from him, when they forgot, they stopped focusing on him, they forgot the faithfulness that he had to them. It wasn't that he stopped being faithful. They had given their attention to something else. See, when they had crossed the Red Sea with Moses and they just witnessed that miraculous event, they moved and they get into Mount Sinai, at the bottom of Mount Sinai, and camp there. And Moses is on the mountain. And Moses is with God, spending time with God for 40 days. And he's getting the law. And he's getting instructions. And he comes down, and what's happening now at the bottom of the mountain? The people have created an idol. They turned away from God. They quickly forgot what God had done for them. They were murmuring. They were grumbling. They were complaining. They grumbled over and over and over again in the wilderness. Yet God remained faithful to his people. See in verse 9 of Joshua 4, I want to read this for us real quick. It says, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan in the place where the feet of the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. Now I will admit to you, when I read this chapter studying for this message, I overlooked that. Because we're focused on the memorial stones that the people had built, that they had brought out and they had set up. But Joshua goes and he sets this one up. And he sets it up in the midst of the Jordan. And here's the thing. This second memorial stone isn't really talked about much. It isn't mentioned again in the passage. See, I believe that this would testify in season of drought, when the river would get low, that they would see the faithfulness of God. Sometimes we may have things in front of us, but we may forget exactly what's going on. We need a reminder, a second reminder. And I believe that's what those stones represented, a secondary reminder for that, so that we know that the same God who parted the Red Sea, the same God who parted the Jordan River, is the same God who could part any troubled waters in our own lives. Because in a season of drought, we must remember the faithfulness of God and the great things that he's done and the great things that he's continuing to do. See, that's why we must build our own memorial stones of God's faithfulness. Many times you look at the Israelites and we're like, oh man, I can't even imagine these guys. They are just, they're in it, they're with God. They've just seen all these events, but yet they continue to distrust God. But those who live in glass houses shouldn't cast stones, because I don't think we're exempt from that type of thinking. You see, failing to recognize God's faithfulness has been a problem for God's people all throughout history, even up until this day. When we fail to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, we forget how faithful God has been to us. And when we do that, too often we forget the times where he has remained faithful to us, and it's we are the ones who are turning away from him and putting our faith and trust in other things but God. Putting our faith and trust in people, putting our faith and trust in our jobs, in our own strength, when God has called us to focus on the memorial stones that he is building in our own lives. How has God been faithful to you? See, I, for one, can look back and see God's faithfulness in my life. But I ask myself, have I been faithful to God? See, I'm no different from the Israelites because I take my eyes off the memorial stones of my own life. But God has been faithful to me in so many ways, I can't even begin to count. I have a mountain of memorial stones. We all have mountains of memorial stones. The fact that I'm here today, this very moment with you, is because of God's faithfulness in my life. I was born in a country, Trinidad and Tobago, third world country. Should not be here today, but it's God's faithfulness in my life. When I was in college, I graduated with an accounting degree, and my wife and I, we were moving to Texas. The plan was that we would go to Texas. I would go to Texas first. I would get set up shop, and then she and Nate would come down. Well, she came down a couple months later, and she decided, you know what? Texas is just not my cup of tea. I'm from a small town country home with like 50 people in my village. Everybody knows everybody's name. And Texas is just not my thing. Her sister was getting married that same year, and she went back to the wedding. So I'm down, and we're talking, trying to figure out what's going on. She says, yeah, I'm not coming back. Talk about marriage not over. She says, I'm not coming back. So here I am. I've got this job I went to school for. Not everybody gets a job straight out of college and what they're doing. But I get a job doing what I love doing. But here we are, not even a year later, moving back to Ohio. I've got no job. She has no job. And we have a two-year-old. But God is a faithful God. I will admit, though, that in the moment, I didn't see God's faithfulness. See, more often, we don't see God's faithfulness in our lives. It's only after the fact. And what I mean by that is that we may come up on a situation where it's not going our way, and we tend to lick our wounds and start complaining. I'm not the only Israelite in here, am I? We're grumbling about our situation. But God is working everything out in His favor for your benefit. See, but the memorial stone like that one in my life is one that you can start to build on. So that when trials come, and trials will come, we can look back on them and focus on what God has already done and what He will continue to do for us in the future. We must build up our memorial stones and focus on and reflect on them often. Because we live in a time where the enemy is persistent. And if there's one thing I can tell you, if there's one thing I will guarantee you, in fact, the Bible tells you too, is He will tempt you. Let's see what 1 Peter has to say. 1 Peter says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. It's not my words. That's the Bible. John 10:10, he says, the Bible warns us that the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that we may have life and have it abundantly. See, I think we tend to give too many thoughts into the first part of that verse rather than the second. But I choose to focus on the second part, on what Christ has done for us. It's not that I'm ignoring it. No, I'm just shifting my focus. And so many times in our lives, that's what it is. We need to shift our focus. And I shift my focus because the warning is there for a reason and it shouldn't be ignored. I'm not saying that at all. However, the reason why we can live and lavish is in the promise of abundant life is because of Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. When we look behind me, there's a cross. The cross is the great reminder of God's faithfulness. It is the ultimate reminder of God's faithfulness to us in our lives. This is why each and every week when we partake in the Lord's Supper, we have to examine ourselves as we approach the table. It's not simply just to bring to mind what Christ has done, but it's just for us to focus on and reflect on exactly what that means to us. Jesus Christ gave His life for you and I to reconcile us back to the Father, the ultimate sacrifice. He didn't have to do it because God is faithful to us. He did it. He sent His Son to die for you and I. Yes, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the warning is warranted, but the promise is better. And the promise is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. You see, when time comes, and trust me, time will come, because we continue to live in a broken and fallen world, We must hold on to God. We must stand strong in our faith. And we must look back on the memorial stones of our own lives so we can stand firm and keep hope alive and keep striving to a better future. Our strength comes from Jesus Christ. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 121. It says, I will lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? It's not a question, because he gives the answer next. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil, not some of it, all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. See, our strength and our help comes from Jesus. It comes from the Lord. But what about our church? What about our church? You see, our church has built its own memorial stones of God's faithfulness. And that's because we are the church. And collectively, God uses his church to fulfill his mission, the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 18 and 20 is our marching orders. It says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And here it is. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Not some, all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now I know this is not the first time we hear this. This has been preached on. It's the Great Commission. But this is why we exist at DCC. Nothing else. First, we need to experience God, because we need to have an encounter with the Lord. We need to come to a position in our life where we say to God, listen, it's not about me, it's about you. And we need to have that experience. Then we need to grow in our faith. We need to invest in our relationship with Christ. And it's only then can we do the next one, which is impact the world. And that's what we want to do at DCC. We want to experience God, grow in our faith, and impact the world. See, God is good. The fact that our church is celebrating its 40th birthday is proof of God's faithfulness. See, as I was preparing for this message, I started to think about stories, about memorial stones of DCC. And I've been attending here since 2012, and I've seen God's faithfulness through this church. And some of you have been attending longer than I have. Some of you have been attending 15 years, 20 years. Some of you have been attending 40 years. We have founding members in the church today. Some of you have been attending a couple weeks. Some of you, it might be your first day. God is faithful. God continues to use this church for his glory. Because throughout 40 years, I can guarantee you that there were many changes. There were many different things happening. But there was one thing that remained constant. One thing remains the same. He's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. And that's God and the faithfulness of him to his people here at DCC. Long before us and long after us, he will continue to remain faithful to his people. See, I wanted to share a few stories that I collected. And don't have enough time to share all the stories. There's a ton, okay? But I just want to share these two real quickly. There was a Lifeline Mission 20 years ago. Lifeline Mission came and presented to the church about a mission trip to Honduras and Haiti. And during that presentation, one individual kind of really sunk in. One individual. And sometimes God just needs one, right? He don't need all. He just needs one. And that one person went on a mission trip. And they came back. And they shared about everything that God was doing. And they were like, man, they were pumped up. They were energized. And they shared what God had done. And pretty soon after that, a few more joined. And then a few more. And then a few more. And eventually there was 20 individuals going on a mission trip to Honduras. How amazing is that? We go from having one to 20. And 20 years later, to this day, DCC has had a long-standing relationship with Christian Lifeline Missions to send people on mission trip. In fact, this year we went to Cuba. That's what it's about. It's about impacting all peoples. So what the verse said. All nations, not just locally, but abroad. We have an international impact when we think about the faithfulness that God has to Delaware Christian. Another story I'd like to share is about a couple in the church who was in process of adopting a beautiful daughter. And they had fallen in love with her and she with them. See, legal problems became so overwhelming that they were in danger of losing her. One small group was praying about it, and someone suggested that the entire church come together and pray for this adoption. A night was set, and the church prayed together, and the adoption was finalized shortly after that. You see, this is what happened when God uses a faithful church, a church that is faithful in prayer. See, this is why at DCC, we want to continue to be faithful prayer warriors. That's why we have a prayer team. And our prayers, every prayer, every Sunday, we ask you to write your prayer requests. That's not just to fill out the card, because we believe in the power of prayer. Every week, we are praying. Our identity is based in prayer, because we know that of a God who is big enough to take the small circumstances and the big ones, and he's able to answer all of them. We just have to bring it to him in our prayers. See, we are faithful in our prayer. This is a church that's based its faithfulness on prayer. And that's how we can connect with what God is doing. Because if you're not praying, you don't know how God is leading you. Also, when there was the education extension, there was commitments that had to be there, sacrifices. For my tech guys, we went from media shout to pro presenter. That was monumental. Where Anthony at? That was big. But I have personally seen God's faithfulness to this church. See, not so long ago, but 3 years ago, we went through a transition as a church. And the enemy thought that he had his day at DCC. But let me tell you what, he was wrong. He was wrong because in a short period of time, we have become something more than we could have ever imagined. And all of this is not our own doing. It's because of God and him alone only. He took our brokenness and he brought back healing. He took our despair and he restored hope. He took what looked like a bad situation and brought us to where we are today. And for that, my friends, only he alone deserves all the praise and all the glory. Trust me, he is faithful when there's nothing left to hold on to you. Because it is in those moments that he's the one holding on to you. He will take your darkest moments and bring light to your situation. Not just a light, but the light. Jesus Christ. This year, our mission, our outreach is to be salt and light. And I love seeing everybody with the salt and light shirts on because we are the light of Delaware Christian, of this community through Delaware Christian Church and the faithfulness of God. You see, these stones meant something to the Israelites and it translates to us today. As Christians, our worldview is one that begins with and ends with God. Nothing else. There's no substitute. Don't let anybody fool you. Don't anybody tell you anything different. Because when God intervenes in this world, he does so purposely. So we must continue to build a memorial stones. Towards the end of the chapter in Joshua 4, God repeats the promise, what he wants Joshua to do. He says, and he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea. Listen, I did it before, I could do it again. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord God forever. See, not only do we need to remember God's faithfulness and build our own memorial stones or our church, but we must continue to trust in the faithfulness of God. For 40 years, the Israelites were in the wilderness. But let me clarify one thing. You wanted to be in the wilderness. Because in the wilderness is where the presence of God was, the Ark of the Covenant. And the presence, and his presence, here he dwelt amongst his people. You did not want to be outside of the wilderness. In the wilderness is where God demonstrated his power over and over and over again. In the wilderness was the place of God's provision. Listen, the Israelites had it good. They were in slavery. But then they get to the wilderness and they're getting breakfast served, buffet style, all you can eat. Then they complained. they got more. They wanted meat, they got it. When they sinned, God provided means of healing for them. In the wilderness is where the provision of God was, and it was a place of comfort and love. See, too many times we are in the wilderness, and we're asking God to take us out of it. Listen, I know we're all in a bad situation. I know there's hurt. I know there's brokenness. I know there's pain. I know you're going through something in your life right now, but in the wilderness is where God is at, and that's where his presence is, and that's where he will meet you with his provision. You don't want to be outside the wilderness. God isn't outside the wilderness. He's in the wilderness with you. See, we are modern-day Israelites, and we too are in the wilderness because we have not entered into the promised land. And we do not want to be caught on the Jordan, on the other side of it, because there's coming a time, there's coming a day when we will cross over into the presence of the Most High. And if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then, my friends, on that day, you will have no memorial to stand on. See, these stones out of the Jordan marked the movements of God amongst his people. They testified of the willingness of a people to leave what they had known in order to go with God, to face the challenges of their faith, to step into water, to believe what they could not see. What about you today? Do you believe in what you cannot see? See, next Sunday is an important day in the life of our church. As we look ahead of how God is moving, as we celebrate what he has done, we continue to build his memorial stones at DCC. We will celebrate 40 years of walking faithfully with God. We are in the wilderness, and we want to be in the wilderness because that's where the provision of God is at. And until that day when Jesus returns to take us into the promised land, which is heaven, may we continue to build on the memorial stones of our own lives and as our church. The question I have for you today is, will you be carrying stones with you? Or will you be on the other side of the Jordan looking at those who have crossed over? I'd like to close reading the last verse of this chapter again as a reminder of God's faithfulness and who it's for. He says, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Listen, God works among us to make his renown known, not just for our own knowledge, but for the world's. God was preparing the Israelites as they were entering into the land of Canaan. They set up the memorial stones because God was preparing them for something bigger. God was preparing them for something better. God was preparing them for what he was going to do next. God is continuing to build this church here at DCC. And he's preparing us for something bigger. He's preparing us for something better. But first, we need to come into a relationship with him. If you are outside of the faith today, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you, the biggest memorial stone in your life is recognizing what Christ has done for you, and that's looking at the cross. Jesus came, he died, and he gave his life so that he can reconcile you and redeem you. He died, he went down to the grave, but he didn't stay there. 3 days later, he arose from that grave. And because he arose from that, we have victory. No longer does the enemy come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give us life, and to give us life abundantly. I'm going to pray, then the band's going to sing. If you have a decision to make, I encourage you to come on down. We would love to talk with you about the next steps here. If you just need prayer, listen, I know we're all going through something in our lives. If you need prayer, we are a church based its foundation on prayer. We are people of prayer. The elders and I would love to pray for you. Please, come on down. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness in our lives. And we thank you so much for this message today. Father, I pray that you would continue to use this church to be the light in the community. But Father, I pray for that person right now who is sitting and have heard this message, Lord, and is thinking about the faithfulness that you have had to them. Father, you sent your son Jesus. He died, but he died so that we can come back into a loving relationship with you, so that we could be in the wilderness with you, God, so that we can be where your provision's at. We can be where your love's at. I thank you so much, Lord, for Jesus Christ. It's in his name I pray. Amen.